الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد الشريعة. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, amongst the many challenges that Muslims face both on an individual and a collective level is how do you and I relate to this material world. On one hand, we are quite aware that from time to time we hear the talk of our ulama and the talk of our spiritual elders warning us with regard to the temptations and the fitna of what we termed as dunya, the material world. Yet at the very same time, we are all aware that we tend or we also look at the material world with a certain degree of enjoyment and with a certain degree of looking forward to the acquisition of the material world. So one finds oneself in sometimes in a dilemma. We enjoy the material things of this material of this world, yet at the same time we are told from time to time warning us about the temptations and warning us about what we sometimes term as quote unquote the evils of this material world. And also we find in the Quran and Hadith we find different words used for this material world. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to this material world as amusement and play. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُوا وَلَهُ. Many places in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has termed and used the word amusement and play to refer to this material world, to the world as something as amusement and play, meaning don't regard it to be the be-all and the end-all of your existence. Yet Allah Ta'ala also in the Holy Quran has spoken about the positive aspects of this material world. So we find Allah Ta'ala saying, رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Oh Allah, give us good in this material world and give us good in the year after. Allah Ta'ala in the 28th part of the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala has referred to this material world as khair, as something that is good, something that is positive. Allah in the 4th surah of the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. Allah refers to wealth as a means of your qiyam, as a means of your existence. So we find on one hand amusement and play, on the other hand Allah Ta'ala says khair, it is something that is good. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Go and seek the fadl and the grace of Allah. According to the unanimous opinion of the ulama, the word fadl and grace here refers to this material world. So how do we reconcile this apparent dilemma? On one hand, Allah Ta'ala uses the word fitna. Allah uses the word amusement and play to the very same material world. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses words like khair, good. And Allah Ta'ala refers and uses the word fadl and grace to refer to the very same material world. And this is a dilemma that we need to resolve, because two of the questions that will be posed to each and every human being on the day of Qiyamah will be with reference to this material world. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said among the five questions that will be put forward before a human being on the day of Qiyamah, two will be pertaining to wealth. Two will be pertaining to material wealth. How did you acquire it and how did you dispose of it? So how do we find the right balance in this extremely complex yet most important aspect of our life. Let us look at some of the principles that the Sharia has outlined for us. The first of those is that in many ways wealth is neutral. Neutral in one sense, neutral in the terms of it being blessed or otherwise. No less an authority than Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mu'ana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in his Fazail al-Sadaqat has written that wealth in itself is neutral. It depends upon the human being, how he acquires, how he disposes, how he utilizes it, that makes it either beneficial to him or harmful to him. So amongst the very first principles with regard to this material world is for us to understand that it is neutral. It depends how you utilize, how you acquire, how you accumulate, and how you dispose of it that makes it either beneficial or harmful. The second important principle that we need to understand is not to deny the importance of wealth or not to deny the fact that we love wealth. That Allah has made it adorable. Allah has made it seem very glamorous for each and every human being. Allah has made mention in the Holy Quran, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنِينَ وَالْمُقَنْتَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Allah Ta'ala says, I have adorned for human beings certain things in this material world. I have adorned and make it attractive for him. And among the things that I have made attractive is material wealth. I have made material wealth adorable and desirable for each and every human being. So the solution is not to deny the love of this material world. The solution is to deny its supremacy and its primacy. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ عَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ. Look at the beauty of the Holy Quran. Because it understands the nature of human being. And no one knows the weakness and the strengths and the pros and cons of human being the way Allah Ta'ala does. And so therefore Allah Ta'ala says, tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, if your parents, your children, your family, وَأَمْوَالُكُمْ, and your wealth, you know, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, the houses in which you live and you love, you know, all of that, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِكْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, the wealth in which you worry about diminishing wealth, about the fact that it's going to become devalued, وَتِجَارَةٌ, and your businesses which you fear loss in. Look at the words Allah Ta'ala says, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If it becomes more beloved to Allah and His Rasul. Look at the beauty. Allah didn't say that it is not beloved to you. The problem is, as I said, the solution is not to deny the fact that you're going to love it, or it is adorable, or it is desirable. The solution is to deny its primacy and its supremacy over other more important factors in life, like love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ahabba ilaykum. Does it become more beloved than Allah and His Rasul? And when it becomes more beloved to Allah and His Rasul, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَعْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِعَمْرِ, then wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's adab and punishment to come upon you. Therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua to Almighty Allah, اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا غاية رغبتنا. O Allah, do not make this material world the highest of our aspirations. Do not make it the reason why we acquire knowledge. And do not make it the be-all and the end-all of our desires. Look at the wisdom of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua. He said, O Allah, do not make it the highest of our aspirations. The highest of our aspiration is وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, to attain the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not make it the reason why we acquire knowledge. Brothers, knowledge is very, very virtuous. For it to be reduced only for you to acquire material wealth. Knowledge is far more superior that you only value knowledge for the amount of wealth that it's going to bring to you. No, do not acquire knowledge with the intention of only material wealth. And do not make it the be-all and the end-all of your existence. So the second type of principle that we got to understand is not to deny the love that each and every person Allah has kept it within it, And but is to deny its primacy and its supremacy over other more important things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in this universe, and amongst them is to strive towards the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing is, after understanding that, while we agree from the Quran and Hadith that wealth is neutral, we also got to understand that due to its glamour, it has the potential to drag and take a person towards those things which are negative. While it is neutral, it has the potential many a times due to its glamour, due to its sweetness, or at least the outward glamour and its outward sweetness, to take you towards things that are harmful and negative to your spirituality and harmful to your own existence. And therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلُّ خَتِيَةٍ. The love and the obsession of this material world is the root cause of all type of guna and sin. And if you were to really analyze this, you will find that every sin, the motive and the origin behind that sin would have some degree of love for this material world. Adultery and fornication would be love for sensual pleasures. If you commit theft, for example, or you commit fraud, what is known as white collar crime in today's time, then that would be love for wealth and love for money itself. So any type of guna and sin that, if you look at it, fame, would be love for worldly popularity. So therefore Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so greatly analyzed one of the greatest spiritual diseases in humankind when he said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلُّ خَتِيَةٍ, that verily this material world is the root cause of all guna and sin. And I've just given you some examples with regard to it. And that is the reason why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about the trial and temptation of wealth. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّتِي فِتْنَةٌ وَفِتْنَةُ أُمَّتِي مَالٌ. That each and every ummah has a specific trial. And the trial for this ummah, the trial for this ummah is wealth. How does he relate to this wealth? When he comes closer to it, does it take him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does it bring it closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I think that is also another important aspect, is that more often than not, and if you are not careful, it can take you towards negativity from the spiritual point of view. Many of the spiritual diseases that we have, you will find the root cause of it being wealth. That wealth does cause great amount of fitna, arrogance, pride. Many a times it's because of our love for wealth. And therefore Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day when he's made mention of the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people came to complain with regard to poverty. Among the Sahaba in the beginning stages, there were great amount of degree of poverty and great degree of hardship in their material life. And then when they came to complain to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about poverty, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I don't fear poverty for the Ummah. In terms of the spirituality, I don't fear that much of poverty for the Ummah the way I fear the abundance of wealth. And when they have the abundance of wealth, they will get caught in the trials and temptations that came upon the people of the past, and they will be destroyed by not getting the right balance. The way I've outlined in the first two principles, they will not get the right balance in their relationship to this material world. So that is the other aspect with regard to it, more often than not. And that is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was given the option with regard to having great amount of material wealth and being without it, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opted. What did he opt for? He opted for less material world. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Muhammad, I can make the mountains around Makkah into, you know, gold for you. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam opted and said, oh Allah, I don't want that to happen. I want one day to get food, one day to remain without food. So the day when I'm without food, that day I will make sabab. And the day that I have food, I will be able to be thankful to you, O Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the beauty with regard to, now ulama have given this example with regard to a ship. And this, they have referred the example of this material world to a ship. If a ship that is in the, you know, going into the oceans, you will find that it requires the water to be able to traverse the ocean. But yet at the very same time, that very same water can become instrumental in the sinking of the ship. If the water goes into the ship, then that very same water which is instrumental in the smooth running of the ship in the ocean becomes the means of the sinking of the ship. In a similar manner, our ulama tell us that material world and this wealth is like the ship in the ocean. As long as this material world remains outside your heart, you don't become obsessed with it. You don't have extreme love and fondness for it. It becomes the means of your proper existence in this world. But the moment it gets a place in your heart, taking you away from more important priorities in life, then it becomes the means of the sinking of your spiritual self. So that's the third thing I've made mention. And now the fourth thing, which is most important, and that is the benefits of this material world. Now keep in mind what we have up till now said, wealth is neutral, and it is the way you acquire it or the way you dispose of it that makes it either beneficial or harmful. The second thing that we have made mention is not to deny the love of this material world, but to deny its supremacy. The third thing is, more often than not because of its glamour, it can take you towards things that are negative, and I've outlined some of the examples. Now the fourth thing is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak about the positive aspects of material wealth? Now this is an area and an arena where many of us seem to fail, is to utilize wealth positively to be beneficial for us in this material world and in the year after. That is the reason why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, La ba'sa bil ghina liman ittaqillaha azza wa jal. There is nothing wrong with wealth for a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Ni'mal malu salih lir rajul salih. Very beneficial and very good is wealth for a person who is a pious person, because he will know how to acquire it and he will know how to dispose of it. And that is the reason why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. The dunya is the sowing ground for the year after. That is why another hadith Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that the dunya and this material world is a bridge for the year after. Brothers, this particular example, bridge for the year after, is such an important example. Bridge does not take you to your destination. It is not your objective. The bridge is not your destination and is not your objective. But yet, without the bridge, you can't reach your destination. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of the world as a bridge towards our ultimate destination of the year after. The bridge is not your destination, it is not your objective, but is a means of going towards your objective. And this is such an important aspect. And Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the rector of Darul Uloom Deoband, he used to make mention of this, and he used to say that people regard the world as insignificant. It is not true. He said, how are you going to become, and how are you going to sow your akhirat? He said, it's a folly on our part to think that our akhirat is going to start after we die. Where do we get this notion from, our akhirat is going to start after we die? Many people who go, for example, in taxis, especially in India, Pakistan, you know, sometimes you go into the taxi and you tell him that I would like to stay here, just stop for a little while, I'm going to buy something and I will come back. So the taxi wala will tell you, don't worry, the meter is running. Don't worry, you can go, take how long as you want, the meter is running. Brothers, the meter of our akhirat is running. Where do we get this, that our akhirat is going to start the day? By the consequences of our material life is going to start after we die. But our akhirat is in the process of being done by how we lead our life in this world. And how is that akhirat going to be made if we don't regard the world as something that is of benefit? Our akhirat has been made in this material world. Our akhirat is made by how we spend our wealth, how we acquire it. Two of the questions of the year after, as I said, I will remind ourselves once again, is going to be how we acquire the wealth and how we dispose of it. And our akhirat has been made in the presence. The meter is running. And therefore, this particular material world therefore becomes a very, very great benefit to us. Today, you and I, we only look at this material world in terms of what? Our own individual welfare. Our own individual prosperity. But there are other means of wealth, brothers. There are other ways of utilizing the wealth to make it beneficial for us, not only in this world, in the year after. Look at this beautiful ayat in the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, وسيجنبها الأتقى الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكى. According to the unanimous opinion of this, the Mufassirin, this ayat refers to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah ta'ala refers to him as the word Atqa, the one who was most pious. وَسَيُجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى. But when Allah ta'ala describes his piety, Allah ta'ala describes his piety in what way? الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who spend his wealth to achieve purification for himself. Now how did, if the material world and the wealth was insignificant, how did he come to be an atqa? Allah ta'ala uses the word atqa to refer to his wealth, which was amongst the reasons that gave him the position of atqa. And of course we know that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had 40,000 dirhams prior to hijrat, and he spent all of that in the path of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the incident that on the time of the battle of the Tabuk, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, today I felt that I'm going to outdo Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala in spending in the path of Almighty Allah. So he brought half his wealth. To give 50% of your wealth in charity is no ordinary task. Very few in today's time would be able to do it. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave 50% of his wealth. And when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Umar, how much did you leave for your family? He said, oh Prophet of Almighty Allah, how much I have brought here, I have left that amount for my family. I have left half for my family and I have left and I have given half in the path of Almighty Allah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave this reply. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala brought all his wealth in the path of Almighty Allah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Abu Bakr, what did you leave for your family? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then told by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, I left Allah and His Rasul for my family. Now that type of situation, my dear respected brothers, he caught that atqa yu'ti malahu yatazakka, by utilizing his wealth. Allah ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, amwalakum allati ja'ala Allahu lakum qiyama. Allah has made this wealth for you a means of existence. One of the tragedies of the world that we are facing is that Muslims have become vulnerable in the material sense. Why? That they have not utilized their wealth in the correct way. We only can think of wealth in terms of individual prosperity. We have never looked at the possibility of using wealth to come closer towards Almighty Allah. We have not looked at the prospect of utilizing wealth in such a way that doesn't make us vulnerable as a community. And there is no doubt that today, taking advantage of this vulnerability, the enemies of Islam have used that vulnerability of the Muslims to put them in a situation where due to that vulnerability they cannot progress. People have not utilized and looked at the way of utilizing wealth, that I will utilize my wealth, I will progress in material world, and through the means of my progress, so many people's risk will become through the means of my wealth. If you have an enterprise and you have 10, 20, 30 people working for you, what a great blessing that other people's risk is through the means of your wealth that you have acquired. And what a great service that you can be of humanity. So when we look at this material world, my dear respected brothers, it is important for us to look at it holistically. And sometimes we don't get that balance right with regard to this material world. Yet at the same time, it is one of the most important aspects with regard to how do we relate to this material world. And people find themselves in a dilemma. When they look at it on one hand, they see the ulama saying that dunya is a fitna. Yet at the same time, we all like the material world. So the solution is to look at it holistically, not to look at it partially. And amongst the principles that we learn from the Quran and Hadith, one of them is get the proper balance with regard to this material world, because two of the questions of the year after will be pertaining to this material world. How do you acquire? How do you dispose of it? Second thing, it is neutral. It is how you acquire and dispose that makes it either beneficial or harmful. Thirdly, we have made mention that in many ways, it is not to deny the love that you have, but to deny its supremacy. Fourth, due to the fact that it has a glamour around it, that you have to be very careful and cautious with regard to that glamour, that it does not take you down the slippery path of negativity. It makes you proud, makes you arrogant, takes you away from the commands of Allah Ta'ala, does not make you fulfill the rights of your relatives. That's the fourth thing. And the fifth thing is, utilize wealth positively. Some of the aspects that I have made mention of, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to be able to get the right balance with regard to this material world, keep us away from the harmful aspect, and also give us the ability to utilize it positively for our own self, for the sake of our community, and more importantly, for the sake of our akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.